comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. I'm Greg Mahochko, and I am recording this one from my truck. That's right, this is another truck episode. First in a while, mostly because, I don't know, I have a kid with me quite a bit when I go to work, but I'm recording this one before the sun is even up, so my son is asleep. Mama is at home today, so I have an opportunity to drive and just get a few thoughts out there, fill you in on what I've been reading, what I've been watching, and it's not going to be a very long episode this time. There might be a part two to it. I might come back with more thoughts on the way home from work, but it doesn't matter. You're not going to hear this until Thursday anyway. It's Wednesday morning. It's 5:44 in the morning as I drive to work because they said, we need you here by 6. Okay, I'll be there by 6. So anyway, here's what I've been reading. It's long, it's beefy, it's sometimes hard to follow. But I've been reading Grant Morrison's Multiversity. Grant Morrison, legendary writer, one of the best ones currently out there, and a slew of artists. And one of the things that I noticed as I've been reading the book, I mean, Ivan Reiss is in there, I believe Jim Lee, but anyway, just some of the biggest names, you know, on the DC side. Obviously, it's a DC story, but every multiverse that they visit in the story has its own artist. It's really, really unique in that regard. And there's, you know, 52 multiverses. They finally gotten to a point now where things are starting to make sense. And I know this is all born out of Crisis on Infinite Earths and everything, you know, the things that took place 30 years ago in comics, but the narrative that's woven from, you know, Earth to Earth or multiverse to multiverse is really fantastic, and I think that only someone like Grant Morrison could pull it off because, I don't know, maybe the way he views the world, maybe the way that best way that I can put it probably is that this thing was a massive undertaking, probably a couple of years in, you know, the narrative writing form before we ever saw the finished product. Like I said, I'm finally to a point now where things are starting to make some sense. They go back and pull from, like I said, Infinite Crisis. And so you're getting, I don't know, I'm enjoying the take on it because you have this superhero, and in fact, right there in the middle of the book, they show you essentially what the Justice League or the Society of Superheroes, what that main superhero team looks like on all of these Earths, with the exception of, I believe, Earth 3, which is the Crime Syndicate. If you go back to you know, a little bit of ways in the New 52, this would have been after, I'm trying to think now, nope, just lost it. I think it was after the Trinity War, but right in that timeline, but when the Crime Syndicate came over from Earth 3. Anyway, that's one of those with a, you know, kind of a villainous world with a lack of heroes. or in that case, I think the heroes are, you know, your otherwise villains, you know, like Lex Luthor being a hero type of thing, because you have Ultraman as, you know, that world's Superman and a Superwoman. Anyway, you understand where I'm going with that. So every world kind of has its own, and it's a little bit meta because they talk about comic books in the comic book and how this one particular comic book, you know, someone has found a way to use it as a portal to all of these other multiverses. So finally getting to a stage in it now where I can see the bigger picture coming together and who's behind it. So it's been an enjoyable read, but it has taken some time, and it's a big book, but it has taken some time to get through. And you know, when anybody who is a parent, or you know, anybody who has other priorities, I should say, would know that sometimes you don't have time to just sit there and knock out a trade paperback in a week or so. It's been a process, and sometimes my biggest challenge is if I have the book just laying around, like I was reading it, or I plan on reading it, or I was reading it and I had to put it down to take the dogs outside, something like that. My son has gotten a hold of it, and you got to be really careful because he doesn't know any control of his grip, so I got to get that book back, otherwise pages might get ripped, which again, not his fault. My wife even said so once. She said, well, you shouldn't have left it laying there. I said, I know, but, you know, dog's got to go outside, you know. Besides, he's getting taller, and putting things on the kitchen table just doesn't work anymore. But laughing at my own jokes. It's the hallmark of a true comedian right there. So anyway, multiversity, I'll have more to say about it likely when I finish the book itself. Well, that's only a stop on this episode, thought train, so let's keep rolling. I did finish a couple weeks back, I finished, Paper Girls Volume 1, which is, I had initially picked up Issue 1, you know, when it first came out, and enjoyed it, picked up Volume 1, and took an unexpected twist, but I liked where it went, so when I was at the comic book shop last week, I went ahead and grabbed Volume 2. It is definitely a unique story, as about everything from Image Comics is. Forgive me, I'm blanking on the creators. I don't know any of their names. But it's set in the 1980s, and at least, and I'll say this without giving away any spoilers. Volume 1, I know, because that's the one I've read, is set in the 80s, but with a hint, and this is what kind of drew me in after the first issue, made me want to go out and seek more, because at the end of the first issue, they find a piece of technology, and one of the girls, because, you know, when you think of Paper Girls, it's like Paper Boys, you know, they're the teenagers who go and, you know, put the newspapers on the Porsches in the morning, you know. One of the girls finds a piece of technology, and someone says, oh, is it from outer, or, you know, is it alien piece or something like that? And she says, no, it's an Apple. A little wink and a nod, because it looked like it was an iPod, an Apple iPod. So a little, not alien tech, but a little future tech somehow landed its way back in the 1980-something to pull a line from the Goldbergs. So very interesting story, like I said, some unique art, as Image is, you know, kind of known for. Again, they don't have that, you know, are not bound to that superhero mold. So it looks kind of normal. I mean, you know, nobody's over muscled or anything like that. So some good art, and a good story through Volume 1. So check with your local comic shop and see if they have, you know, Volume 1. Maybe, I always say local comic shop, LCS, because I like supporting mine. Hopefully there's one that, you have that you can support. But if you are in a remote rural area and you don't have a local comic shop, I'm sure you can look up Comixology or Amazon, something like that, where you might be able to acquire it digitally. So check out Paper Girls. I know I've mentioned it on the podcast before. So what I have been watching, or what we have been watching, my wife and I, through the beneficiary of some friends of ours, we have Hulu. It's how I watch Goldbergs and a few other shows. And on the trade, they get HBO Go so they can keep up to date on Game of Thrones. So through Hulu, you know, I've been searching around, seeing what I can find to watch. I think I'm being tailgated. That's not nice. I'm going the speed limit. Settle down, fella. But anyway, through Hulu, my wife came across Smallville. Now, when we met, it was 2008, and Smallville was about 7 seasons in. Because I had been a fan, we watched, you know, seasons 8, 9, and 10 together. She kind of became a fan because it is... it's good. It's really good storytelling. I think one of the things that people forget about Smallville is how you know, amazing they did creating this world where, you know, Superman is not Superman. I mean, he's Clark Kent. He's Kal-El. He's learning how to use his abilities in the early seasons. He's acquiring new abilities. And I always remember they said, you know, that there are a couple of rules that they needed to stand by with the show, and that was that no capes, no flying, and I believe in the final episode or second to last episode of the series, we finally got to see that as they knew that they were wrapping it up. But anyway, so I had watched, you know, all the seasons 1 through 5 back in 2007 after I'd been fired from my job and was out of work, and my buddy Brody, shout out to Brody, he said, hey man, you gotta check out this show Smallville. And I said, ah, you know, I've seen a promo for it here or there, but I'm 5 seasons too late, I don't think that I can really get into it. He says, I've got all the sets on DVD if you want to borrow them. So I watched 5 seasons of Smallville in a month because I didn't have anything else to do. You know, I was out of work, looking for work. I found work shortly after. But we have every season of Smallville on DVD, including season 10, which is still in plastic. But of course, as I think everybody realizes, digital streaming is so much easier because, hey, you don't have to worry about discs anymore. Honestly, why I, you know, watch Game of Thrones on HBO Go, besides the fact that I have all the seasons on DVD. My wife started watching that up again, and I said, hey, you know, this all, you know, wall of weird weekly villain stuff is cool, but when you get to season 4, don't watch without me. I made that request because she's watched other shows without me, like Doctor Who, and so I don't get to enjoy that experience with her. So I said, after you get to season 4, you know, I'd like to watch it all again too. So we did. We watched season 4. Now we're in season 5, and again, I'm just reminded, the episode we watched last night was, spoiler alert, was the episode where Jonathan Kent died of a heart attack after winning the state Senate seat. You know, which is not, you know, out of the realm from the comics, where Jonathan Kent also died of a heart attack. But the thing about it is going back to just the storytelling and how the writers came on, and go back and watch some Smallville, or pull up Smallville on IMDb if you want to look at, you know, through the list of everybody who was ever. They had some good people. They have people who now we could say use the phrase walk between worlds, because Agent Maria Hill from the Avengers, aka I can't think of her real name now, She played, I always go back to, you know, she was Robin Scherbatsky on How I Met Your Mother. She was in an episode of Smallville. So you just can't ever be, you know, can't ever be sure of who's going to make their arrival in Smallville. So with that being said, I'm going to put a pin in the conversation. Hopefully I'll come back later. But hey, we've got 15 minutes. And there's some more to talk about, so this won't be the end, but I am at work, so I'm going to go do that thing, make those monies to pay those things, those gimmicks that come in the mail called bills. So we'll talk to you later.
All right, everybody, I said I'd be back, and I'm back. It's a little bit later than I had anticipated because got caught listening to some other podcasts on the way home from work. So here it is, Wednesday night, finishing up my thoughts for this episode of Nerds United, and just wanted to briefly mention, I saw two billboards for it before the show premiered about almost 2 weeks ago now, depending on when you are listening to this, and I didn't watch it live on a Sunday night, but on Hulu, I did catch the first episode of The Orville, which is Seth MacFarlane. It is, I don't know, I guess his take on a Space Odyssey, Star Trek type of series. Anyway, I watched it. I laughed a few times. It's best that I can describe it is immature. You know, that Seth MacFarlane type of comedy, but immature Star Trek. That's about what it is in a nutshell. If you had to choose three words in the English language to describe The Orville, immature Star Trek. And for that, you know, I enjoyed it. I'll watch the next episode and see how long I last watching it. But so anyway, it's got laughs. It's got, you know, space adventure. And it's got, you know, inappropriate humor, I guess. Toilet humor, lowbrow humor. The stuff that Seth MacFarlane, like it or not, is known for. And I'm a guy who, for some reason, I just enjoyed the crap out of A Million Ways to Die in the West. There's something about that movie that I just laughed my ass off. Maybe it's Neil Patrick Harris singing about a mustache. That's all I know about the song. Thoroughly, for me anyway, thoroughly enjoyable movie. The Orville, I watch it on Hulu, but I know it's on Fox on Sundays. If that is your thing, check it out. That is it for this episode of Nerds United. Make sure that you check out all the other podcasts here on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Kevin Huntsberger with My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Chad Smart over Positive Cynicism. And myself and Brian Toll on Coronation's Five Heart Podcast, which, by golly, I hope we have a new episode this week. That's all I could say. But Brian's little girl just turned 3 this week, so sometimes getting him, you know, nailed down for time to talk is difficult. Sometimes I'm difficult to nail down time to talk. So anyway, things happen. That's it for this episode. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure that you rate and review on iTunes if you haven't already, and subscribe, share with your friends, and that's all. Have a great week.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.